Jay Sekulow, in another act of political correctness, DOJ scrubs the references to Islam from the transcripts of the Orlando terrorist calls to the police.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Say partial. What's being left out?
Well, what we're not going to do is further proclaim this individual's pledges of allegiance to terrorist groups and further his propaganda.
So we're not going to hear him talk about those things.
We will hear him talk about some of those things, but we're not going to hear him make his assertions of allegiance.
The transcript that has been released goes like so. Emergency 911, this is being recorded. In the name of God, the merciful, the beneficial, and something is said in Arabic. He continues, praise be to God and prayers as well as peace be upon the prophet of God. I let you know I'm in Orlando and I did the shootings. The 911 operator, what's your name? My name is I pledge of allegiance to, omitted. Okay, what's your name? I pledge allegiance to, omitted. May God protect him in Arabic and on behalf of, omitted. The 911 operator, all right, where are you? The killer in Orlando. Where in Orlando was the next question from the 911 operator. End of call.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Three things immediately jump out to me. His pledge of allegiance to the Islamic State is like a consistent drumbeat throughout these phone calls. It's not kind of a one-off or an isolated event. He also describes himself as a soldier of the caliphate.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Well, in another act of what is clearly political correctness, no matter what the FBI wants to call it, the FBI has scrubbed, as they're calling it, references to Allah, Jihad, or the name of the organization ISIS from the release of the transcript of the 911 call from Omar Martin. Now, let me just say this in the beginning. You've heard what Bill Hemmer had to say, but here's what it gets to in the substance of it. In the name of God, the merciful, the beneficial, and then there's a word in Arabic, they don't translate it. Then, praise be to God and prayers as well as peace be upon him, the prophet of God. Again, something in Arabic. They then said, what is your name? He said, my name is I pledge allegiance to omitted. What is your name? I pledge allegiance to omitted. May God protect him. Again, something in Arabic on behalf of omitted. So the references to ISIS omitted. Now, this is so absurd that the Department of Justice would do this, Jordan. It shows, I think, not only, I mean, the American people, they're saying they don't want to injure, so to speak, or bring this back up and give it credence. But the whole world knows who they pledged allegiance to. So not admitting this, which I think the Florida Attorney General objected to, I think the Florida people wanted it released in total. The attorney general did not, is more of the narrative of the Obama administration. That's why they're omitting the references to ISIS and the name of Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi.
Yeah, that this isn't about Islam, that it's not about ISIS, that it's not about Islamic terrorism or Islamic radicalism or jihadists, that it's, again, they're taking out the key parts that link this to an act of terror. And why it goes against the narrative that this was a hate crime and yep. not a terrorist act. And I think, and we know that from the president, you know, it's, and what kind of terrorist act is it? This president has no problem with labeling things as domestic terrorism or talking about gun violence and issues like that. But when it comes to anything involving yep. Islam, as we see, it's scrubbed. It's scrubbed from the transcript.
We want your reaction to this. We'll also talk about Donald Trump firing campaign manager Corey Lewandowski. What does that mean for the campaign? How did that develop? We'll take your calls on both of those topics at 1-800-684-3110. Let me also say we've got a major victory I'm going to report after the break coming out of the United Nations about 2.5 weeks after our presentation to the UN on that issue of boycott, divest, and sanction. We remember state of New York said we're not going to allow that to take place in New York, which was a positive development. Now we got a big win out of the UN, too. We'll talk about that coming up. Logan's going to let you know how you can talk to us on air and engage in multiple platforms.
That's right. Call us right now, 1-800-684-3110. Lines are open. We just opened the lines right now, 1-800-684-3110. Get your voice heard. You can also join us online on Facebook and on Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulow. You can see us live right there in Periscope. Search for Jay Sekulow. Both ways, great ways to engage in the conversation and be a part of the show.
We also have up a petition right now at ACLJ.org, which is on our genocide issue, which is now at the United Nations. 147,000 have signed it. Stop the genocide. You could do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be at the UN making presentations tomorrow. More when we come back from the break.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., U.N., and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Let me mention that we had a very significant victory at the UN. There are six permanent committees at the United Nations. One of them deals with international law and terrorism. The 2 weeks after our hearing, before when I gave that speech at the General Assembly and others at the BDS, Ambassadors Against the Boycott, Divest, and Sanction Movement Against Israel, we've had great success coming out of that. But this is fantastic. Danny Danone, the ambassador who was the sponsor of the event, the ambassador from Israel to the United Nations, has now been elected to head the permanent UN committee that deals with international law and terrorism, and we're going to be working very closely with him on the UN's agenda on international law and terrorism. So this is a huge win coming right after our speech at the UN, the speech I gave, which, of course, is up at our Facebook page and also up on aclj.org and was the subject of this week's television broadcast. So we encourage you in that regard that your voice makes a difference. And this is the first time in modern Israeli history since the formation of the modern state of Israel in 1948 that an Israeli ambassador has served as the chairman of one of the committees. And of all the committees, it's the one on international law and terrorism. And we're going to be working, I spoke to the ambassador, and we are going to be working very, very closely as legal advisors to him on this. And this is a big development and a big win. And again, a thank you to all of our ACLJ members. Let me also say, and I'll mention this in the next segment, we are at the UN tomorrow in Geneva, today and tomorrow, on the issue of Christian genocide in the Middle East by ISIS and others. That is an inter-oral argument. It's been taking place already by our executive director of our European Center for Law and Justice. Tomorrow, he will address the issue of these young girls in Kenya that have been taken into slavery. We freed them. We're in court on that, but we will make a full presentation and intervention to the UN. We're also talking about, obviously, the editing of the transcripts and Corey Lewandowski, the campaign manager for Donald Trump, former campaign manager, I should say, now he has left the campaign. So we've got a lot of issues to talk about, and we've got a lot of comments coming in on Facebook and Periscope, and we're also taking your calls at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, a lot of people are calling in, a lot of comments coming in, a lot of people that are like, why can't we get a Ted Cruz to come back? A lot of those kind of comments coming in when it comes to the situation with Donald Trump, and they said there's some rumblings on that. I haven't heard that.
Well, yeah, the rumbling is, I'll tell you everybody what the rumbling is, a PAC has formed. It was a PAC that Ted Cruz, one of his super PACs, has formed as a delegate PAC to get delegates not to commit to vote for him. Jordan, that made news over the weekend. Cruz camp said they have nothing to do with it, but it was that former people running that actual PAC.
Yeah, and again, the candidates don't have a lot of control over those PACs and the way the super PACs are structured. still, I think, very difficult. In fact, the moves that Donald Trump's making are likely in light of, you know, remarks, advice he's received from big party donors, supporters, people who are the mainstream Republicans that fill the coffers of the RNC, so they're able to put out, you know, the do the work that they need to do. And this was probably a direct reaction to that. So while Donald Trump's making moves to, I think, further ingrain himself with party leadership, yep. You've got there's still a group that wants to do everything possible to try and deny him the nomination.
All right, we are going to go ahead and take some phone calls. 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's the first call of the day?
Denise in Pasadena, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Denise.
Hi, Jay. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just have a concern. They're calling these transcripts, but they sound like manual scripts from a writer in Hollywood.
Yeah.
How can they put it out as a legal document?
So evidently there was a struggle, Denise, between the state of Florida, who wanted all of the transcripts released, and the Attorney General's office. Because the FBI is running this investigation because it is an act of terror, what has happened is she made the determination that they would not give references. They would redact, as we say in the law, that is, remove portions of the transcript that identified Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi or ISIS or pledging allegiance to ISIS or any of those types of references. So all those have been removed. The people in Florida, the officials in Florida, I think it was pretty clear from the press conference, wanted all of the information shared. That is not what happened. I think, again, we talked about this during the break, but I'll say it again. I think this was all part of the president's narrative. They're saying it's to protect the victims' families, but the reality is the victims' families know exactly what happened because those that survived this horrendous terrorist attack talked about exactly what he said, Jordan, so this is nonsense.
Yeah, right. I mean, people have said, you know, he's shouting in Arabic, shouting Allah Akbar, the commentary. And of course, we know in these phone calls, that's where exactly these transcripts are going. But they're taking out those specific parts and they're saying it's, oh, we don't want to give ISIS any more credit than that's due. But it's at this point, it's being honest to the American people, because there has been that kind of, I think, deflecting of what this was about. Was it about gays and lesbians? Was it about access to guns and the people that can get it? Or was it really about Islamic terrorism, focusing in on a group of people that Islam has very harsh punishments for, and a target that happened to be the easiest one after he scoped out, which we know from his wife, scoped out multiple targets in the Orlando area and determined this nightclub was the best. It goes against the Obama administration narrative about Islam, radical Islamic terrorism, the jihadist efforts, and specifically ISIS, which we know from our CIA directors we talked about last week on the broadcast, their efforts to spread international terrorism, to recruit people to carry out terrorist attacks, is only getting bigger and stronger, even during the airstrikes that are happening, as John Brennan said, on, quote, the battlefield in Syria and Iraq. This is the other battlefield, the terror battlefield, which only involves, you know, one or two individuals to be able to carry out an attack. I think this redaction, like much of the response by the Obama administration, is going to backfire significantly.
I think it already has backfired in the sense that the American people are frustrated at this. You wonder, why is the president doing this? I'll tell you my thought on it. Again, is what I said. It goes against his narrative. I don't think it has anything to do with protecting the victims, because everybody knows what took place in there. Those that survived it have said it. So this is, what are you hearing, Logan?
Yeah, I think that's right. And a lot of people are saying, yeah, they understand why they wouldn't release the audio, because, look, I'm sure the audio is horrific.
Yeah,
nothing
that
you guys
want to
hear.
Because it has the gunshots on it.
I'm sure. You can't imagine what's on there.
Yep.
But the transcripts, and editing it in a way to even where we kind of know what he said. You know, it's odd. It's not even they've said, we're not going to release the transcripts. We're not going to release anything. It's saying, okay, here it is. It's edited, but it's at least edited in a way, weirdly, where you can kind of fill in the blank yourself.
Yeah, so this is, you know what's being omitted. So this is absurd. Why they're doing it, it's the narrative. We want your comments on all this, 1-800-684-3110. Let me also ask you this. Donald Trump firing his campaign manager. I want to talk about that certainly more in the second half of the broadcast, but we want your comments on that one as well. 1-800-684-3110.
Yeah. Someone said, is it legal for them to edit the 911?
So there is a conflict between Florida's transparency laws and the federal government. They don't have to look under an ongoing criminal investigation. That's a good question. Ongoing criminal investigation. They don't have to release any transcripts. But once you release them, there's a question under the Florida laws as to whether you have to release full transcripts with an ongoing investigation. But here again, the FBI is in charge So they get to make the final call, and the FBI's made that call through the Attorney General's office, actually, I should say. The FBI's investigating the U.S. Attorney. The Attorney General's in charge of all of this. And this is what you got. So we'll take more of your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110. Do we have time for one before the break?
Sure, we can go to a call. We can go to Kathy in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Jay. Thank you to you and all your cohorts for all the good work you do.
Thank you.
My main focus is on them scrubbing part of the 911 call. I understand why they did it, just as y'all were saying, but they just don't understand how infuriating that is to everyday citizens. You know, we hear that a radical element could be 15 to 25% of the Muslim population.
Right.
While we have a population of 7 to 8 million Muslims, that means we have, even on a low percentage of 10%, we have 700 to 800,000 Muslims that could be radical.
I call them jihadists now. I don't even call them radical Islamists anymore. But I mean, I've said that last week. I mean, 10% is a big number when you look at the volume. But let me take it a step further. Here's where I think it's absurd, Kathy. I mean, and I do think this is absurd. Everybody knows what was said. We know he pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. We know he pledged his allegiance to ISIS. They, as Logan said, they don't edit out everything. My name is I pledge allegiance to omit. So this is, again, I think this is nothing but political correctness. It's the same problem the administration has when they remove phrases like Sharia and jihad from the training manuals. And this is what you get when you do it. This kind of, sure, the American people are upset and concerned about this. And I think this is why. Now, the end result of this will be, it'll be very interesting. They said no more press conferences in Orlando on site. So this is now an FBI investigation, and I think you're going to try to shift it. But let's not fall into the trap of simply calling this a mass casualty. This was a targeted terrorist attack on a segment of Americans. They happen to be, in this case, gay and lesbians. That's who was targeted. Okay? But they were targeted because they're Americans. And this guy did it, and he pledged allegiance to ISIS. We know what ISIS does with communities they disagree with. They don't have civil discourse, where in the United States you could have civil discourse over issues. They throw people off the top of buildings that they disagree with. They are doing genocide against Christians. We're fighting that at the UN right now. All right, we come back from the break. We are going to take more of your calls. Have they just released the audio? May have. We're checking on that right now. They may have released some of the audio. If not, we'll find out. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. We'll take more of your phone calls. Don't forget to sign our petition to stop the genocide against Christians over at aclj.org. I've also got an email alert that's out on that right now. If you get our emails, make sure you respond to that at aclj.org. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more in the next segment of the broadcast. Again, aclj.org to sign on to that petition, which, as we go to the UN tomorrow, I'd sure like to tell them we're at 150,000. We're at 147,000 right now. So just go over to aclj.org and sign that. We'll be back with more in a moment.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic: How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., UN, and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
So as you know, the transcripts have been edited that were released by the FBI or the Justice Department as well on the calls that Omar Martin made to the Orlando Police Department, the 911 call, references to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, references to ISIS, scrubbed. Now, they were scrubbed not because the Orlando, I want to make this very clear, Orlando police officials wanted full release of the transcripts, not the audios, by the way, as Logan said, for the obvious reason that the audio is horrific. And would cause harm to the families. But he wanted the full thing released. Here's Lee Bentley, the U.S. attorney, who says that the Orlando Police Department wanted more.
The Orlando Police Department, led by Chief Mina, wanted to release as much as possible with respect to these early morning hours. All of this is subject to a federal investigation. The attorney general decided upon this limited release. They are not in any way trying to hide anything. They're trying to be as forthcoming as possible.
So Orlando obviously wanted a much broader release of the documentation. Not the audio, but wanted a broader release of this, and that did not happen. So we will talk about that. We're going to take your calls also at 800-684-3110. Let me say this, though, that we are right now, if you get our ACLJ alerts, and I encourage you to get them if you don't, just go over to aclj.org. We're 24 hours from a monumental moment to defend Christians against genocide at the United Nations. That is taking place today and tomorrow. The Islamic State, we're not afraid to call it that, as you know, has killed missionaries or reports this morning that were horrific, including a four-year-old that was beheaded by ISIS. Christian women have been enslaved. You know that as well. And children have been killed or sold into slavery as well. Without more direct action from the UN, the fact is just more Christians are going to die and others that are disagreeing with ISIS. We are building momentum. We believe it is our sacred duty to protect them. We believe there's also a legal obligation to protect them. That's where we come in. We've successfully pressured, finally, the Obama administration to recognize the genocide and the UN Secretary General's office to raise the issue at the UN Security Council. But now we're at a critical moment. We're expanding our legal advocacy efforts for the persecuted. We've sent legal filings to the U.S. mission to the UN to stop the genocide. In 24 hours, we are making our second major oral intervention directly at the UN. And Jordan, let's let people know how important that is. So this is on the Christian genocide issue. We are really going to work on that.
Yeah, and there's been some conflict at the United Nations where, as we expected, remember in the United States, we focused on making sure that Christians were included if the State Department, right. And ultimately it was Secretary of State Kerry issuing a statement that included Christians, Yazidis, and other religious minorities as part of a genocide, which is, again, when we see the churches being turned into ISIS headquarters, that all is part of a genocide, completely destroying a group, and it can be for, you know, a religious group. And at the UN, we're seeing a battle over who should be included. Now, it would seem pretty obvious that those minority groups under ISIS control should all be included. But here's where the distinction, which I think is very unfortunate, but shows some of the Islamic and developing world influence at the United Nations, to say the least. What they have tried to do is make a distinction between the Yazidis, which are not treated by ISIS as, quote, people of the book, Christians, Jews, and Muslims. They're outside of that, so they are ultimately being killed. They have no opportunity to pay a tax.
Right.
Which Christians are given an opportunity to, in some shape or form. Now, they're not allowed to talk about their faith, practice their faith whatsoever, and many of them have been killed in horrendous ways, we know. But because that of that difference of the tax versus right. No tax available, that's where the UN is trying to draw distinctions between what's genocide and what isn't. And we disagree with that.
Yeah. Do we have any comments coming on that issue, Logan, or do you want to go right back to the phones?
We do have some coming in. A lot of people are asking, you know, how they can even get involved more.
Yeah.
And how they can be involved in this situation. What can they actually do?
Okay, so the biggest thing, I appreciate those questions coming by Facebook and Periscope. On this particular, we make what's called an oral intervention, which means we make an oral presentation in front of the entire UN Security Council. That is by our executive director of our European Center for Law and Justice out of Strasbourg, France. He's in Geneva. That took place, some of it this morning, some of it will take place tomorrow. So what we want to do is let them know how many people we're representing. And right now we're about 147,000. So everybody that's watching on Facebook and Periscope or listening over on radio or watching on ACLJ.org, just simply go over to ACLJ.org and sign that petition. It takes really moments to do it, and that makes a huge impact. You've already seen how that really helps us. So, again, Periscope, Facebook, ACLJ.org, make that call. It really makes a difference. Just go over to ACLJ.org and sign that petition there. We encourage you to do it. Make sure you're getting our newsletter so you can stay up to date on all of this. All right, Logan, let's go with another call here before the break.
Let's go to Charles in Atlanta.
Hey, Charles.
Yeah, Jay, I just wanted to know that if Congress declares war on ISIS, how will that affect President Obama's narrative to try to cover for all these terrorist attacks and call them something that they aren't?
Well, he would hate that. I mean, this is why you've got this conflict. But we think, how do you not call it what it is, which is a war? Look, they've declared war on us. We have a step-by-step plan that's already up on ACLJ.org, and the fifth step is the ACLJ calls on U.S. leaders, including members of Congress, the president, to debate and pass a resolution declaring war on ISIS, just as ISIS has declared war on us. This move would reinforce the notion that this fight is a war, that it's a priority for all Americans, regardless of their political affiliation, and we acknowledge the nature of the conflict we're in. Having said that, Charles, the fact of the matter is, Jordan, the president really is resistant on this. Again, it's this narrative. It's why you don't have ISIS in the transcripts. It's the same reason why you scrub jihad or Sharia from the training manuals. It's all part of the same narrative.
Yeah, that this is not the real threat that we face. And so the immediate pivot to gun violence, the immediate pivot to a hate crime, and using the term terrorism but not defining what kind of terrorism. And you have to understand, you have to deal with what the enemy you face is, what is driving them, what is their ideology. And instead, what we have been distracted with over the last 7 days has been these narratives about the individual themselves and the conflicts they have and the issues and problems they have. That's not uncommon. When you learn about ISIS,
right.
Even the drug use among ISIS fighters,
right.
the sex slavery in ISIS, you would think all these things would be outside moral okays when you look at strict interpretation of Islamic law. But they don't. They have their own interpretation of it. And they are a radical strain, true, but they are representative of too much. They have too much influence right now. It's happening at regular mosques in our communities in the United States, and that's why you have to identify what it is. And I think this scrubbing is just another attempt to shield the truth behind what this attack was about.
All right, let me play for you President Obama last week. Then Logan's let you know we got another 30 minutes of the broadcast coming up, a lot of ways to forget. But here's what President Obama said last week, why he won't call it radical jihadist.
There's no magic to the phrase radical Islam. It's a political talking point. It's not a strategy. And the reason I am careful about how I describe this threat has nothing to do with political correctness and everything to do with actually defeating extremism.
Yeah, so this tells you what you've got here. You know what this is? Nonsense. It's not political correctness. It's not a talking point. It's identifying your enemy. All right, we are here for another 30 minutes. First thing I need you to do is go to ACLJ.org, sign on to that petition. If you are getting our emails, you can click on that as well. That's on the genocide issue. We're at the UN today and tomorrow, so we'd appreciate you doing that. And then, Logan, there is another 30 minutes of this broadcast, and we want people to get it.
That's right. You can be involved right now. And all you got to do is, if you don't get it on your normal network, log on to Facebook, facebook.com/jsekulo. Periscope, search for Jay Sekulow, ACLJ.org to stream it live. You can also find it archived later on the ACLJ app. That's on iPhone, on iPad, Apple TV, Roku devices, and obviously ACLJ.org, as well as the Jay Sekulow Live podcast, made available each and every day through iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of places to get it. That's what we like to do. All right, we'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. 800-684-3110. Don't forget ACLJ.org. Sign that petition on genocide.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
I'm talking about freedom.
three-letter words of the today's broadcast are the Department of Justice and the ability to redact, which is absurd, the words from the transcript of the 9/11 call. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi references to ISIS, which he said twice. What is your name? I pledge allegiance to omitted. Okay, what is your name? I pledge allegiance to omitted. May God protect him in Arabic on behalf of omitted. So there you have it. This is the Department of Justice again. This came from the Orlando, not from the Orlando Police or the Orlando Investigative Authorities. I want to be clear there, or the Florida Attorney General. This was from Loretta Lynch. Again, more of the narrative. We're going to go right to your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, let's go right back to them.
All right, William's calling in Georgia. You're on the air.
Hey, William.
Hey, Jay. How you doing?
Good, sir.
I just wanted to say real quick, it's funny with all the cover-ups that the Department of Justice and the Obama administration do to try to cover up the fact that this is a jihad act. It almost makes you question if they're actually working for them or they're advocating for them.
Well, I don't think they're working or advocating for them, but what you've got, William, and I understand the frustration, I think, is pretty intense here. Logan, what's been the frustration like on Facebook and Periscope?
Yeah, you're right. It does seem less aimed at sort of the issue and more at the administration.
Yeah, like so what you've got is, I mean, Jordan, in a sense, it's a deflection. I mean, like you said, last week, the speculation about the sexual orientation of the shooter. What difference does that make? He pledged allegiance to ISIS. It was a terrorist attack. What difference does it make? There's 49 Americans died at the hands of this jihadist.
Yeah, and what we're not seeing, and it's not to take away from those who were certainly targeted, but he's not focusing his commentary, at least what was released, on the gay community or homosexuality or some kind of practice. It's all about, you can read, understand what has been removed. ISIS, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the terrorist threat, his religious faith. I mean, he starts the phone call with talking about his religious faith, answers questions using lines from his religious faith and commentary from his religious faith. So that's, again, it goes against that narrative that this was a hate crime and that it's about, it's all about gun control instead of the real threat from Islamic terrorism, which this administration, if you were going to name the biggest failure of the Obama administration, I think it has just been combating this head on.
Yeah. So let me play Dana Bash, our friend from CNN, asked Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, this. Listen to this. Number two.
Club that night.
Tell us.
They will talk about what he told law enforcement on the ground as the events were unfolding.
And what did he tell them?
He talked about his pledges of allegiance to a terrorist group. He talked about his motivations for why he was claiming at that time he was committing this horrific act.
Let me stop right there. I'll play more in a moment. He talked about his pledge of allegiance to a terrorist group as if we don't know what the terrorist group is that he pledged allegiance to. It was ISIS. He talked about his motivation for what he was doing. That was because of the actions in Syria and Iraq that the coalition forces have taken. Then he says this.
See, in some ways, the reason why we're going to limit these transcripts is to avoid re-victimizing those who went through this horror. But it will contain the substance of his conversations.
Here's the problem with the whole thing. The problem with the whole thing is the survivors of this horrific jihadist terrorist attack have said exactly what the guy said. And we all know who he pledged allegiance to, so I don't know who they think they're protecting here. This is absurd.
Absolutely. I think that's the comments that are coming in. People are saying, this is goes beyond censorship.
Yep.
This is
stupid. I mean, it's ridiculous.
This is from Lucinda. She said, the people already know what happened and why. Silencing is not going to change people's minds. That's from Lucinda on Facebook. And, this is from Lon, who said, shame on the DOJ for being revisionists and sympathetic to these kind of things.
He talked about his pledges of allegiance to a terrorist group, Jordan. We know what the group is.
Yeah, we know what they're about. We know who it is. We know the individual that he's pledged the allegiance to. And it just reeks. It's so obvious why the administration would do this. And to imagine that this is what the advisors are saying, this is a good decision, this is the right move, you just understand all the problems with the Obama administration right now.
All right, we'll take more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget to go to aclj.org or respond to our email that's out on the genocide issue. We're at the UN today and tomorrow on that issue, protecting Christians in the Middle East. You can add your name or support by just going over to aclj.org. We come back from the break. We'll take more of your calls, 1-800-684-3110. We announced the big win for Israel with this committee chairmanship. I'll talk about that. We'll also answer some of your political questions at 1-800-684-3110.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., U.N., and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now, 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government.
Hey, by the way, tonight the Jay Sekulow Band's going to be doing a rehearsal. We'll go on Facebook and for a few minutes doing a Billy Preston tune you're going to certainly want to hear, as well as a Beatle tune. So that'll be interesting tonight for those that want to watch that. We're going to go right back to the calls here. We had a lot of calls coming in, so we want to get to as many as we can. 800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
Let's go to Janet, who's calling in Chicago.
Hey, Janet.
Hey, Jay. Glad to see you out here live.
Thanks.
I have to agree that it's all, we need to say what it is, which is radical Islamist. And did not...
I like the word jihad. I think the appropriate term right now is Islamic jihadist or jihadist, because they are in a war, and that's what jihad is. And we need I think we got to double down on that. These are not just random acts of terror. This is a jihadist war. But go ahead.
I agree 100%. It's not random. There's nothing about them, people, random.
No.
They everything they do. But didn't this guy in Orlando the other night pledge his allegiance to two different types of
No, he pledged allegiance to ISIS and specifically pledged allegiance to Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, who is the head of ISIS. New York Times reporter just put out on Twitter, and it said what's interesting about the transcript is, to those in the know, it's not enough to pledge allegiance to ISIS. You're supposed to pledge allegiance to the leader of ISIS, al-Baghdadi in this case. And, Jordan, that's precisely what he did.
Yeah, exactly what he did. And so he, you know, we know that by the fact that they've removed that section about who he's pledging allegiance to after he's already, you know, obviously pledging his allegiance specifically to the to ISIS.
Yeah.
And we also know from this information, yes, in the past he's talked about various terror groups. That's also not uncommon. These, you know, we can't act like these are terror experts. These are not specialists. They are individuals recruited through online and through maybe even in person in places after these trips to Saudi Arabia and the Middle East.
Exactly.
But they are preyed upon by these groups because of their personalities. They're not necessarily experts themselves. What they are is people who are identified by these terror group leaders who are effective. And this is a person we could turn into a soldier for our cause.
Yeah, which is what, I mean, that's basically what they become. And there's part of this is in the transcripts that he deemed himself a jihadist, a soldier. That's what this is all about at the end of the day. All right, we're taking more of your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. We'll also talk about in the last segment, I think we'll talk some more about the Donald Trump change on the political campaign. But we'll take some more calls as well. 1-800-684-3110.
All right, let's go to Susie in Colorado Springs.
Hey, Susie.
Hey, good morning, Jay.
Yeah.
Hello, Jay. I'm calling about, I hear these echoes of Watergate in this situation when President Nixon was vilified for years, actually, and then finally impeached and driven out of office for redacting.
Well, the consequences of Watergate were certainly less than the consequences of this kind of nonsense that's going on with the Department of Justice, and that we're in a war and people's lives are being impacted, including death. Because of these jihadists. So I think it's not fair to the memory of Richard Nixon in that sense, because I think the scope of this is different. The blatant nature of it. I mean, don't forget that the whole Iran transaction and the fraud that the administration engaged in there was exposed also through the editing technique. I mean, Logan, they must have a series of editors running around the State Department and the Justice Department, because that was just 2 weeks ago that the State Department admitted they edited out from the video statements about how long the Iranian negotiations were going on, which showed that, in fact, the negotiations took place with, guess who? Ahmadinejad, which was completely contrary to what the administration said. So this is the way they do it.
That's right. It seems like they definitely are censoring what's going on in that world. Do you want to go ahead and...
Yeah, let's take some calls because I want to free up all the lines for the last segment.
All right, let's go to Bill, who's calling in Greensboro.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, Jay. Just a thought here, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. Could the purpose of this censorship be that we're living in a Google search world, and what they put out, the truth can't be found a year from now?
Well, I think except everybody knows what happened here. I mean, the ridiculous nature of this narrative is that everybody knows exactly what transpired. I mean, I'm going to play the beginning of Dana Bash's question again, and then Loretta Lynch, I'm just going to play the first sentence, because this is how absurd this is. Everybody knows it was ISIS. Everybody knows it was al-Baghdadi. Here's what Dana Bash asked the question. I want you to listen to what Loretta Lynch said.
Club
that night. Tell us.
They will talk about what he told law enforcement on the ground as the events were unfolding.
And what did he tell them?
He talked about his pledges of allegiance to a terrorist group. He talked
pledges of allegiance to a terrorist group. It was ISIS. It was al-Baghdadi. Why are we hiding this? This is the reality of what we're dealing with. And Logan and Jordan, I'm going to go to Jordan first here. This year, I want to get some comments on this. See what people are saying on Facebook and Periscope about where they feel this is going. The fact is, this will be forgotten in a few days. It will, because there's going to be other events. Unfortunately, this is the way it works. But this, again, this kind of blatant act of censorship, of control, of, and it's not even the censorship, it's the way it was put out there, as if we don't know what really happened.
Yeah, and you're right that there will be other things in news cycles. This will be a focus. And I think, you know, it speaks to these larger issues. Right now, there has to be an effective way of, I think, explaining why there are so many people, whether it's the governor of Florida, whether it's Speaker Paul yep. Ryan, in terror experts on television, that have, you know, former CIA officials that all believe this is trying to mislead the public and yep. not be clear from the administration about the threat we face. And the idea of a legacy that President Obama is leaving the country facing a terror threat from a new relative to his term in office, Islamic terror organization.
Let me play for you Governor Scott, not too happy about all of this, the governor of Florida, number 10.
It just seems like this is another example of not focusing on the evil here. This is evil. It's ISIS. It's radical Islam. At some point, you know, we lost 49 lives here. We lost Stephen Sotloff, a journalist out of Miami in 2014 that was beheaded by ISIS. At some point, we're going to get a president that's going to say, you know, I care about destroying ISIS.
I think Governor Scott is absolutely correct, and I think this is part and parcel of the problem. All right, we're going to take more calls, 800-684-3110. Don't forget, segment of the broadcast, we're going to take your calls on any topic. So if you want to get those in, 1-800-684-3110. Not a lot of calls on the Donald Trump thing today. Interesting.
No, I'd say there are more comments, a lot of comments early on, specifically when we first started talking, and then I think people started realizing how important this situation is.
With the transcripts.
They started to shift towards this. But yes, there are definitely some people who have curious thoughts. There was a person that chimed in and said, does this help or does this hurt the Hillary Clinton campaign?
So that's a good question. I mean, why don't we save that one for the next segment of the broadcast? Because I think that's a great question to ask. All right, let's go ahead and take another phone call. That's a very good question.
Right,
we are going to get back to it.
Rose of Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hey, Rose.
Hi.
Hey.
I've got some weird questions, maybe. How come the news stations, the major news stations, do not post it anyway or talk about it? And how come the president can get away with this and the people of the U.S. can't do a thing?
Well, we are doing something because we're on air live to millions of people pointing out the absurd nature of what they've done here. But, and I think that governor of Florida is speaking out. So that it's not like no one's doing something. I mean, we are identifying who the enemy is. We laid out a 5-point plan, which we have already presented on the on Capitol Hill. So this is what we're talking about. And I think, Jordan, it points to the nature of this.
Yeah, now this information just came out. It's been on the cable news broadcast already, the idea, and there's already a debate going on about the redaction of these specific terms and the specific words used by the Orlando terrorist. We'll have to see how the nightly news, the broadcast news, covers this, if they try to kind of gloss over it, or if they also bring up the controversy, not just have show the transcript, but acknowledge that there is a controversy ongoing about the comments made.
Yeah, I think that's exactly correct. I mean, I think that's exactly correct. All right, do we have time for one more, Logan, do you think? Or do you think we...
Oh, we can probably take one more.
Let's take another call.
All right, let's go to Julie, who's calling from Santa Monica, California.
Hi, Julie.
Hi, Jay. This scrubbing of the phone call is yet one more example. It's reminding me of the novel 1984 by George Orwell.
Yeah.
Where you had thought police controlling thought crimes and Ministry of Truth saying what is truth. And in the end, if the Department of Justice and the Department of Homeland Security and the president say 2 + 2 = 5,
and everybody starts agreeing that it's 5. Well, here's what they're doing. This is, and I've said this at the beginning, I'm going to say it again. This is the undercutting. The president doesn't want his narrative interfered with, even with only 5 months to go. So he's doing everything he can to keep that narrative in place. So the fact of the matter is that narrative is staying in place. And what the end result of that is that they omit portions of a transcript, Logan, as you said, that are absurd because everybody knows what the next part of the sentence is.
Yeah, they were even being reported, I feel like, the early morning hours of the crime, because that was how they were able to, you know, when originally the FBI, you know, director in Florida came out and said, yes, we do have suspicions that this is going to be Islamic terrorism. Yeah, because they knew already very clearly it was because of these 911 calls before they even entered the building. So you have that situation where, yes, they understood the situation, and we all did as well. So to edit it is just a little bit on the... I don't know if it's the idea of trying to be, like someone said, overprotective when we all know what it is anyway.
Yep. All right, we're going to talk about this. We'll talk about the political fallout of all of this and the political fallout with the Donald Trump campaign over the Lewandowski termination. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We've got lines open because it's the last segment of the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget, sign that petition on the issue of genocide. We're at the UN tomorrow. We want to get it to 150,000 signatures. We're getting close. We're about 148,000, just almost 149,000. So if you could help us get to 150,000, that would be great at ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls at 800-684-3110.
Americans' freedom under attack by the biggest and most dangerous branch of government, the federal bureaucracy. In his new book, Undemocratic, How Unelected, Unaccountable Bureaucrats Are Stealing Your Liberty and Freedom, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow sounds the alarm. It's a powerful look at what's become the fourth branch of government. It's not in the Constitution, but the federal bureaucracy has become an out-of-control, unelected monstrosity that robs Americans of their rights through endless rules and regulations. In Undemocratic, Jay Sekulow, a New York Times bestselling author, provides a plan to fight back and explains why personal freedoms don't have to become a thing of the past. This must-read is available now in bookstores nationwide. You can order your copy online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Apple iBooks. Learn more at undemocraticbook.com. It's time to put an end to the systematic abuse of the federal government. Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. ISIS is engaged in the blatant genocide of Christians in the Middle East. We successfully pressured the Obama administration to recognize this genocide against Christians. Now we have an obligation to act under the Genocide Convention. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign urging the U.S., UN, and world leaders to adopt our critical policy proposals. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Christians die daily at the hands of genocidal jihadists. The ACLJ is fighting back. Together, we can stop the slaughter. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
Secular Band's version of the song The Wait, by the way, we're going to be playing tonight for a little bit, probably 15 or 20 minutes on Facebook. Wait, I don't have the exact time, probably in the 8, 9 o'clock hour, probably closer to 9 o'clock Eastern time. We'll play a couple of songs, including a Billy Preston tune that we're working on, That's the Way God Planned It, which is a great spiritual number, as well as a Beatle tune. So 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on air. We had a good comment come in, a question come in earlier. That asked about the political fallout on all of this. That was one of the Facebook or Periscope comments.
I mean, tough to pull the exact comment again, but in general, the person was asking for, what does this do for the Hillary campaign with the situation with Donald Trump?
Yeah, so this is, and we want your calls on this. How does it impact you? What are you thinking about on the campaign? 1-800-684-3110.
From Cheryl. Cheryl says, took me a while to pull it up, it was, 20 minutes ago now, does Trump's firing his campaign manager help or hurt Hillary?
All right, so Jordan, go ahead. You give first analysis here.
Listen, it's not necessarily a hurt or help Hillary Clinton directly. What it does show is that there's issues within the Trump campaign. They could either quickly correct them, and this could be a 48-hour kind of news story, and then the discussion moves on. Or it could be that we hear that there's more issues within the campaign. We don't really know yet. I mean, it's one person right now. Sometimes it is just one individual, and they're kind of removed because of issues within the campaign. Sometimes it's half the campaign could go, later today. We don't know yet. But the impact is really is it ultimately positive or negative for Donald Trump to make this shakeup? It's not something Hillary Clinton directly is obviously controlling. And it could go either way. It could mean a tougher campaign by Donald Trump because the way they tighten the ship up, or it could mean, more struggles leading into the Republican convention. So it could benefit her. It could actually be maybe one of her worst nightmares that they're getting their act together to a next level.
What's interesting here is we like your comments on this. How do you feel about the Donald Trump campaign right now? Post your comments on Facebook and Periscope or call and let us know. 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Let's go back to the phone.
Yeah, lines are open right now again, 1-800-684-3110. All right, Jerry's calling in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hi, Jerry.
Hi.
My
comment is that I seem to feel after talking to different people, even some Christians, it seems like they just keep wanting to make this into a nice, comfortable package that they can put away and not spend very much of their day thinking about.
Are you talking about who, the administration?
Yeah, the Clinton administration feeds them the stuff that they want to hear that allows them to not be worried or not be so concerned about what's going on.
Well, I don't know. I think that right now you don't have coordination. I don't think there's that kind of coordination between the campaigns on this issue. I think what you've got is two distinct views on how it's to be handled, and you've got a political fallout right now in the Trump campaign because they decided today that they needed to make a change at the top, which, as Jordan said, is not that unusual. But we do want to hear from you on this. Again, post your comments on Facebook and Periscope. We may get into it more tomorrow. But we're also taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Who's next?
All right, Joe is calling in Springfield, New Jersey, on line 4.
Hey, Joe.
And my comment is, we already know about the information from the attack on Orlando. Why would they redact something that was already released?
Well, this is what's absurd. So you've got Jordan. This information was well documented. Logan, you said immediately, right? It was pretty much as you were watching it unfold the morning of the attack.
Yeah, I was up all night that night. I had gotten up. A news alert came in, and I'm from the Orlando area. So is Will, our executive producer, and we were just getting inundated with calls and comments and people that were. Your phone starts lighting up. You start noticing what's going on, and they were calling it as early as 7 a.m., 6 or 7 a.m. The first press conference that really happened. Someone asked, I believe it was Peter Ducey asked, is there anything that was indicating this was Islamic terrorism? And the FBI director at the moment said, yeah, pretty much yes. He said there were things that led them to believe that. not for certain, but they definitely had that as something that was going on.
So, Jordan, in a sense, this again, there's a deeper reason here. And my feeling is the deeper reason is it goes against the president's narrative of how he wants to spin this. He doesn't like admitting it that way.
No, he wants this to be a hate crime, and he wants it to focus on gun control and doesn't want to focus on the threat from Islamic terrorism in the United States. The Islamic faith that is fueling this terrorism, he doesn't want to focus on. And in fact, you know, remember, he gave a major speech, attacking Donald Trump for his comments about this. And then he had his CIA director come out and say that the biggest threats to our country from Islamic terror are the borders, smuggling routes, as he said, refugees, and legitimate travel. So people that already have U.S. passports or are already U.S. citizens, like the individual in Orlando or in California, people that are marrying into to American citizens. It doesn't make a lot of sense. So this language, I think it would directly not harm the public to hear, but it would alert everyone to how real this threat is happening in our own country. It would be chilling to know exactly how this language sounds, even though we know what those words are that are missing, to be able to kind of understand the implications of what this means.
Yeah, I mean, if I was going to edit something for release, I would edit those aspects of talking about the Islamic State stuff. That's what I would get out there so people would understand what the problem is. Here's I'm play a little bit about from Ron Hopper, FBI special agent, about this. This is what he said this morning.
Part of the redacting is meant to not give credence to individuals who have done terrorist acts in the past.
Okay, this is so nonsensical. Do I need to say anything else? I mean, with all due respect to the agent, Ron Hopper may be a good guy. I'm sure he is a good guy. We don't want to give credence to individuals who have done the acts in the past. Everybody knows what took place here. No one's questioning this. Everybody knows what happened. This is what's called absurd. The land of the absurd. All right, let's take another call.
Philomini is calling from California online too.
Hey, you're on the air.
Yes, does this firing his campaign manager for Donald Trump put him in a weakened position and now makes Hillary, really, I think they're just gearing her for the next president, and this makes her strong.
Jordan answered that. I'm going to say this. I think it's not unusual in a campaign when you've gone from the primary to the general election for there to be changes. So that has happened.
Yeah.
So that's happened, number one. Number two, the transition to the general election has not been particularly smooth for the Trump campaign. And number three is the polling numbers for Donald Trump the last few weeks have not been good. So this all pointed to the problem. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's not always as severe as removing your campaign manager at this point. What usually would happen, let's say you thought your campaign manager was doing a good job, they would not be completely removed from the entire operation. They may be reassigned. They may get a new title. They may get a different focus. But what we have here is, from all indications, that this was a firing. Because as early as this morning at about 8:30 a.m., Corey Lewandowski was on phone calls for the Trump campaign and obviously was brought into a meeting and let go. So it's not a situation where there's any indication that he quit the campaign.
Right.
However, they try to say this, and they haven't really tried to say that at all.
Yeah.
This is a more significant move than just broadening out your campaign. Yeah. It is more serious when you actually are firing someone. And we don't know. There could be a reason why, even more than just what you said, that it's all campaign related. It could be personal as well.
All right, can we grab the last call? April's been holding. April, go ahead.
April's calling Eugene, Oregon, very quickly.
I believe it's a smoke screen, like the blue dress with the stain on it. The public, Anyway.
Yeah, I don't think, what you said to the call screener was that you thought the censorship is part of their process, and I think the answer to that, it's shown to be that. And Benghazi, you said, was the video. Yes, it's deflect and change. That seems to be the mode of operandi. We will talk to you tomorrow. Don't forget to sign that petition at ACLJ.org on the genocide issue.
Islamic State jihadists behead, mutilate, torture, and rape Christians. The brutal toll? More than 1 million Christians have been slaughtered or displaced. We're launching a brand new multi-pronged legal advocacy campaign. Number one, stop the genocide. And number two, protect Christians. Sign on to our petition to stop the genocide and protect Christians. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.